Though his name was Amal Purakayastha, those within his orbit knew him as the Bangladeshi, and as the man who neither had a first nor last name. All they knew was that he was a qualified assassin who had trained with the Bangladesh Special Operations Forces. He was tall and thin, and had a skinny range of emotions as someone who neither smiled nor grimaced. Though when a humorous moment or a flash of anger had been presented to him, he would only reveal his emotional state with a facial tic. While sitting in the back of a moving truck with his four-man team, the Bangladeshi brought to mind memories of an arms dealer by the name of Abesh Farooq, his one-time handler. He recalled the moments when he served Farooq as an operator who performed with the cold fortitude of a machine. If Farooq Abesh needed an assassin, Purakayastha was there. If Farooq Abesh needed someone to transport weapons on the black market, Purakayastha was there. If Farooq Abesh needed someone he could trust under any circumstance, Purakayastha was there. But 7 months ago, while trying to hunt down the golden calf, the Bangladeshi had failed to achieve the treasure, which was something that left him with a bad aftertaste. Farooq had negotiated the terms of trading black market weaponry to a terrorist faction in exchange for the golden calf, a barter agreement. So long as the Bangladeshi served as the middleman between the trade once the relic had been unearthed. Now that the hunt was on and the terms agreed upon between the principals, it was Purakayastha who led the guerrilla unit to the top of Mount Sinai. But everything came to a crashing halt when the Vatican Knights interceded and brought down the terrorists with the exception of the Bangladeshi, who had escaped. Though the Bangladeshi had failed Farooq, it mattered little since the arms dealer was found dead in what was believed to be a professional hit before he had been informed of the Bangladeshi's failure. The arms dealer had been discovered sitting inside the glass chamber that was supposed to display the ancient relic, with a bullet to his head and two to center mass. As the truck hit a bump that jarred him from these memories, the Bangladeshi took inventory of his team. They were mercenaries who had been informed by the Bangladeshi that they were picking up a special load from a hidden chamber beneath Abesh Farooq's stately mansion, in what the Bangladeshi had told them was a deal maker. As the truck turned onto the estate, the vehicle quickly made its way along the long stretch of a driveway. At the top of the incline where the for sale sign was posted, the Bangladeshi started to see the manor that was hidden behind thick tree lines. After Farooq's death, the estate had been placed on the market for $26 million in American currency, an amount few could afford. But it featured a one-of-a-kind museum that displayed hard-to-find artifacts. There was a movie theater, an indoor swimming pool, a pair of chef's kitchens, one at both ends of the house, a ballroom for entertaining, a racquetball court, 12 bedrooms, 8 bathrooms. The list went on. But there was only one room that the Bangladeshi was interested in. When the vehicle stopped before the mansion's main entryway, the Bangladeshi jumped down from the truck's bay along with his teammates, then ordered the driver to take the vehicle around back, where he was to park it within the brambles. As the truck took the winding road to the rear, the Bangladeshi led his team to the front door, which was locked, but he had the key. Removing a suppressed firearm from his holster, he placed 3 muted shots that destroyed the lock's mechanism, then pushed the door wide. Knowing that the alarm system had a 20-second window before the distress signal would sound, he knew exactly where to go. Finding the unit's keypad within the foyer, he typed in the recommended code by striking 4 numbers and then the hashtag sign. As he was stepping away, the light turned from red to green, the alarm now disabled. The foyer was spread out with Roman columns that were as tall as the 3-story home that supported the ceiling. And the floor was tiled with Calcutta Carrara marble, richly veined, and the most expensive marble and the finest quality overlay from Italy.